flight track.
Welcome to Infandelity with B and C. One day, a former jock, that's B, married a self-proclaimed nerd, that's C, and slowly she introduced him to the path of nerdom enlightenment. Here we will discuss pop culture media and fandoms that we share and some that we don't. It's all fun and games until your spouse finishes a show without you.
Okay, welcome back to Infandelity.
What's cracking?
So we got kind of a lot to discuss today.
3 weeks straight.
Right. We're doing pretty good.
Consistent gang in the building.
Yeah, we have a lot to discuss today in movie and TV news.
You say we do or we don't?
We do.
Oh, okay. I thought you said we didn't have that much this week.
No.
Oh, my bad. I heard it wrong. It's been a long day, y'all. So sorry.
Yes, we have a lot to discuss in movie and TV news. And what are we doing? We have what we're doing for Tea for the Week. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we just have a lot to discuss.
Yeah.
So, starting it off, James Gunn, the new co-CEO of DC Studios, basically announced all the projects that they're going to be working on in kind of their phase one. He's calling it Chapter One, Gods and Monsters. And I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all, nothing was really like popping like we said it was gonna be. Okay, I'm lying.
I'm not in the notes. I ain't see nothing in the notes. I'm like, wait, what's that?
Yeah, I didn't put anything in
okay,
there.
Okay, so
freestyling. So yeah, no. I'm freestyling it. So the main part, I'm just gonna talk about the projects that interested me and then the questions that I had. So he mentioned a project about Amanda Waller. You know, Amanda Waller is Viola Davis's character from Suicide Squad. She's pretty much been mm-hmm. the only consistent character that they've kept outside of Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad. But they're making a show where she's a sinner called Waller TV. And it is written by one of the writers from Doom Patrol and one of the writers from Watchmen, and I'm assuming he's talking about the Watchmen that came out on DC a couple years ago, or on HBO a couple years ago. I actually forgot that I liked that show a lot. It was really good. And so I was like, okay, this could be good, but it's also like Peacemaker associated, and I couldn't really get into Peacemaker after like the second episode. I didn't watch any more of it. Her daughter is... You watched the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so her daughter is played by Danielle Brooks, formerly Tasty from Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would watch it for her, but otherwise, I don't know. Something about John Cena, he don't do nothing for me. The whole intro is way too long. I don't know. Sometimes, like, that, like, zany, funny stuff, it just gets kind of old sometimes. So... That show, I'll give it a try. I mean, I'll pretty much give everything a try. I'll give everything a couple episodes and we'll see how it goes. There's some animated stuff coming out. He said he wants the same actors for animated, for live action, for video games. But he also said that things that are already working well, like the Batman universe and the Joker movies and Teen Titans Go, the cartoon, those are all going to just stay their own thing off to the side. Mm-hmm. But then they have this new plan for the rest of DC Studios. He's gonna make a new Superman movie. I don't really give a fuck about Superman no more. It's like a young Superman. Again, I don't care. And the thing that really, outside of the Waller TV, that interests me the most is this show called Paradise Lost. And it's gonna be based on the island of Themyscira, which is where Wonder Woman was born.
Okay.
And it's going to be before she was born. And he said it's going to kind of be like Game of Thrones-ish. So like political intrigue. And of course, the island is made up of all women. Oh. So that show has the potential to be really good and diverse. Mostly, I was looking for like diversity in characters and stories. I'm not sure how that's going to look. there's some things, but I don't know. Otherwise, I just like, okay, I need to see casting and I just need to see finished product. Like, you could talk all you want, but what is the product going to look like at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, so for Batman, again, I said last week that I was tired of Batman. I still am, but they're going to have another Batman in the DC studios, which I was like, okay, you said you wanted everybody to be consistent, but you're going to get another Batman. Okay, anyways. And this Batman is going to be, this Batman story is going to be focused on him and his son, Damian, who I've tried to introduce B2 on multiple occasions. And he's like, the only Robin I acknowledge is Dick Grayson. I'm like, baby, he ain't even Robin no more. But yes, so they're skipping the other three Robins and just going straight to Damian.
Other three?
Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, and Tim Drake are the other three. Yeah. So yeah. And I'm trying to think of anything else relevant as far as DC is concerned. I mean, like I said, well, you know, we have to see the final product.
Who's supposed to be his mama again?
Talia al Ghul.
Who?
Talia al Ghul.
Who is that?
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
This is real life?
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about who Batman. Is... No, who is... Okay. Who is Batman baby mama?
Talia al Ghul.
Who is that?
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
I don't know who the fuck Ra's al Ghul is. Who is that?
Okay, so you remember...
All in Ra's al I know is the fucking tiger off of Aladdin. The fuck?
You know the Batman Begins, right? Because you don't... You know Batman Begins.
Wait, let me Google it. Is it a person?
I'm going to tell you, yes.
Okay.
You know Batman Begins, the Christopher Nolan. You remember all the Christopher Nolan movies?
I remember the one that really mattered the most, but I kind of remember the first one. That's when he was more of a ninja.
He learned from the League of Assassins, and who was the head of the League of Assassins? Ra's al Ghul. That was played by the Wish a Nigga Would Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
You remember him?
Yes.
Okay, that was Ra's al Ghul, but it's racist because Ra's al Ghul is technically Middle Eastern, this character, but they had him played by a white man.
I mean, obviously.
Right. And so his daughter, so remember in The Dark Knight Rises?
That's with Bane?
Yes. Yeah. So the French lady who he slept with.
What's the child name again?
Damien.
No. The
wife?
Yes.
Or baby mama?
Yes.
Talia. Talia. Without the H. Al Ghul. A-L. There you go. I'm literally explaining you her story.
I'm trying to see the child person, the child.
You're not going to be able to, you don't read the comics.
I'm saying, what she like in Dark Knight Rises, at least?
She was her, Marion Cotillard.
I ain't going to tell y'all. I ain't going to even hold y'all. I don't remember this white woman at all. I did not know this Caucasian lady. Sorry, never seen
her. I mean, it doesn't matter because all of these characters are going to be played by brand new people anyway, so.
Yeah, I ain't going to hold y'all. All I remember from Dark Knight Rises was Bane's voice. And I remember the baseball. God. Like, I remember there was a baseball stadium. That was the fuck law. That's all. That's all I remember. I can't tell you who did what, who shot who.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, it's Team Marvel over here, cuz. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I mean, I get that.
I don't know what y'all talking about,
I'm
bro.
Definitely...
I can't hear none of that other DC stuff. Like I said, I'll rock with Batman, but I don't... Like, as far as... He's as far as I go. And I ain't gonna lie to you. Like I said, I'm tired of these different stories, too.
What different
stories? I mean, the same. I'm tired of... I don't hold y'all. I'm just tired... Even though Batman is my favorite DC character, I'm tired of Batman.
That's what I said.
I'm tired of Batman.
Yeah. Like, he's overdone.
They act like giving us a new motherfucker in a Batman suit is going to do anything different. No, it's not going to do anything different.
It's still making them money, but...
Yeah, because niggas going to keep seeing it because it's Batman. But at the same time, it's just like, we tired of just...
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that saying go? I forget. I don't even know the saying.
The definition of insanity.
No, it's like
basically trying shit.
Basically, yeah, basically.
Switch it up. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, So how I felt about the Batman movie, I didn't hate it, but I would never watch it again because it's way too fucking long. And I also feel like it didn't give what it was supposed to have gave.
I only like one scene in that movie, and that's when we saw the goddamn Batmobile. Because that whole goddamn theater just started rattling. I felt like I was in the goddamn car. That shit was loud in that bitch. And just how it came up, like, out of the darkness, and the lights just kind of came on. That motherfucker just swerved out. Oh, that joint was hard. That was the best scene of the movie.
Yeah. But, yeah. I thought you were going to say when he got in a fight in the police station.
That, too. Yeah, he went the fuck off. That too. That was a good scene as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, that movie was...
I might watch it again.
It was kind of... You go watch it again.
I had a shitty experience, so that's why I kind of want to rewatch it again.
Oh my god! Speaking of shitty experiences, off topic, but I was listening to "Girl That's Scary" because they did a Barbarian episode. I was listening to it today, and she said,
"I didn't see it."
She said that it was like a kid in a theater who literally said, "She said they had a full blown conversation with no headphones in the middle of the movie theater." Mm-hmm.
I told you.
And the whole exchange just reminded me. And Kat, I think her name was Kat, was like, that's why I stay my ass at home.
And do.
Oh, and I thought about why you'll never go to the movies unless it's a private theater.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is a movie that I want us to watch so bad. Maybe we can acquire it. It's called Infinity Pool. It's a horror kind of ish movie.
What's the ish?
I don't know because I haven't seen it, but it's rated R.
Okay. What is it called? Infinity Pool?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like a boogeyman type of movie.
I mean, shit, I don't know. This first thing I see it. Shit. Could have fooled me.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think I have any other movie and TV news as far as that. I mean, I just hope, again, I've divested from the whole entire DC platform. Like I said, I will give everything a chance. I don't know, maybe my new obsession will come out of it. Doubt it, but we shall see. I am gonna watch Aquaman. I am gonna watch Blue Beetle. I'm not watching that Flash movie. I'll just hear about it when it comes out. What else did they say was
coming
out?
Are they using the same dude?
Oh, Shazam. I'm not watching that either.
They still using the same dude who been getting in trouble?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They sticking beside him. Them. Oh. It's their pronouns. Ezra Miller.
My bad. I ain't know.
And I don't know. I'm like, you know. And Shazam. And the actors, speaking of movie and TV news, the actor from Shazam, I guess he tweeted, somebody said, oh, I guess you don't like Pfizer. And he said, hardcore agree. So all of the children were upset about that. And I'm like, y'all surprised that a white man is problematic in this day and age?
Right.
Y'all should never be surprised by that.
What's shocking?
I saw that tweet and I kept scrolling. Like, what's new? I wasn't going to see the movie no way. Not until it was on HBO Max. I didn't even finish the first one. So, that, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. So, are we going to get into the tea for the week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so, the tea, I'm trying to think. I feel like something else happened in movie and TV news, but let's just get into the tea for the week. So, who do you want to start off with? BMF? Because I feel like, we're going to have more to talk about with Last of Us.
Blowing money fast.
Big Meech. Big Meech and family.
Yeah. Are we still on season one? I mean, I'm trying to avoid season two spoilers like the plague. So far, so good. You know what I mean? But like I said, I am interested in it. What's going on right now? Meech had kidnapped Lamar's daughter.
Still kidnapped. No court of law would be like, oh, but you didn't harm her. Yeah, you can't just take somebody's child.
That's true. That's very true.
And hold them for ransom.
But Friendly kidnapped her because the child had a grand old time. Right. And in order to get his drugs back. Now, what happened was, Lamar has came up out of prison and concocted his way to get back on the streets, basically. He then kind of became the leader of this, assembled this gang. Yeah.
The 12th Street.
I don't know. I'm 50 boys. I don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, they're 12th Street, I think.
Yeah. Lame at him. Anyway.
See, I'm paying attention.
Anyway. So yeah, so they, you know, they kind of rivalry right now, and then what's the saying?
To insult to injury.
Yes, I don't even know what saying is no more.
I know exactly what you.
Yep, to add insult to injury, they both smashing on the same girl, who is Cash Doll, non kind of.
He's not really. Misha's not really.
Not no more. Yeah.
They were.
But not anymore. Lamar's kind of back in the picture.
Yes.
And, you know, he has worked his way up back into her good graces and stuff like that. And just when he get into the good graces, when he was getting ready to go pick her up, boom.
His daughter.
Their daughter. And I don't even know if that's his real daughter. Right. I think that's just somebody he just...
Yeah, because he said, like, the first episode, he said that I always been there, so she's, like, you know, my daughter.
Yeah. So, of course, like, you know, so Meech ends up, I'm sorry, then let's just go back anyway, but either way, he ends up realizing that Meech drugs and stuff out of where, because the girl that they got on her team, on Meech's team, whatever. Yeah, the 50 girl got Cahoochie, and she ran that info up to Lamar, and Lamar ended up, you know, ransacking the drugs or whatever, hit the hot spot or whatever, and took all the dope. So now Meech and them trying to get dope back, and so they came up with a plan to friendly kidnap Lamar's daughter and kind of hold her low key for ransom, so
they can get
their drugs back. Because without their drugs, they need their drugs basically, because I think they just left their main plug or whatever.
Yeah,
so. They need their drugs to kind of get
back. Or they're trying to. I don't know if they did. He probably said, y'all owe me money. Yeah. Okay, so let's kind of... I have a couple things I want to talk about.
Okay.
One, when did Meech go off and have a child? I feel like that baby just popped up, like, episode 5 or whatever episode that was, where he went to his baby mama's house.
I think that was supposed to be a surprise for us.
Okay, because I was like, the hell, he's had a daughter this whole time? Like, okay.
Because I don't recall them mentioning it, you know, them either. Because even when his brother had a kid, what's his name,
Terry.
Terry, yeah, even when Terry had a baby, I remember them saying, like, oh, this is my second...
Right, grandchild. Oh! But no, they do know about the baby.
Yeah, they do know, but I think they did mention the baby, because I think they did say something along the line of they can play with each other or something. They have somebody to play with now or some shit like that. I can't remember. I don't know. But regardless of the fact, this was our first time seeing a baby. So I was like, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So he has his baby mama and this baby, but they're kind of not together, but still fucking. Because, you know, they say that's what happens when you have a baby mama. Mm-hmm. And then, okay. So then Terry and the family are trying to sue the hospital for his eye surgeries. Mm-hmm.
His eye injury, because it was malpractice.
Yes, so they're trying to sue. And then at the same time, the mother... So I also miss the mom and the dad separating, but they're separated. And the mother just did not believe that her sons were dealing drugs, even though the dad kind of was like, girl, wake the fuck up.
Wake up.
Basically, I think at the end of the last episode we watched, maybe, is when the mom caught Meech and Terry.
And they were dumb as hell, because I knew she was holding bricks. Them. It was like 5 or 6 bricks on the goddamn bed.
Yeah.
I knew. I'm like, yo, y'all just got them out the way it was shot. Again, y'all, I got that film degree. The way it was shot, I was like, oh, yeah, she finna walk up in there. Especially when you start seeing little cuts into the hallway. Mm-hmm. Walks through the hallway. I saw, she finna walk right up in there.
Right.
Young nigga, move that dope. Whipping the yam.
They found the body of the person who their other comrade shot.
Yeah.
So they found his body, and they're trying to basically bring Meech down. And I'm like, dang, he ain't even a kingpin yet. They already trying to get him. So.
And the dirty cop is getting found out about by his partner, because the partner is knowing he's in cahoots with Meech. Because he just keeps seeing, like, why was that so easy for you? Like, if they went to go to Meech's house or whatever to press him on some shit, it was just like, all right, let's go. He's like, you know, he just already...
Right, he wasn't really, like, trying to get them up. He wasn't trying to catch them up on that.
Right, so he ended up following the dirty cop to a location where he ended up meeting up with Meech at. So he's on to him, basically. Well, he definitely got more proof that he's definitely in cahoots with Meech, basically.
Oh, yes. And they're trying to get a new distro. And so, basically, with the new distro...
They don't know what a distro is, babe. Please explain to them.
Why you don't think they... Y'all niggas watch Power. Never mind. A distro is basically the person who provides them with the inventory. Because they don't have a way to, like, directly... They can't go to Columbia, so they got to get a middleman to give them the shit.
It's also slang for distributor.
Distributor.
Mm-hmm. Distributor.
So, yes. So, that was the whole thing. Ended up being this girl tried to talk to them at the club. Well, tried to talk to Terry at the club. At first, Meech tried to talk to her, and she was, like, ignoring him. And then she tried to talk to Terry, and Terry ignored her. And I was like, okay, good on Terry. He's a stand-up guy. Turns out that woman was the distro. And so now
she... How's that being a stand-up guy? What if he was actually interested in her?
He got a baby and a baby mama.
Oh, shit. I forgot all about... I forgot all about this baby mama and his baby child. That fast. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, what's wrong with that? I forgot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for him.
Exactly. So yeah, so she ended up being the distro, and she liked how he was, you know, didn't really press her or anything. So they're trying to get in. Oh, and then they got found out from their current boss that they were looking for. They basically got set up, essentially. And the current boss killed the person who set them up in front of them. So what I would say my compliment to the show, y'all, this is not my genre at all. Like, I don't know. Something about black people and just hyperviolence. I just be like, ugh. But I will say what I like that this show is doing is showing, like, the PTSD of them seeing so many people get killed in front of them. I feel like a lot of the times these shows, and I don't watch a lot of them, so I don't know. But I would say from Power and from this show, I feel like they don't really show kind of the mental health toll that it probably took to, like, be in such a violent profession and constantly see people get killed, like, and really you're just trying to provide for your family in a way, because money is everything. Like, having money to be able to do whatever you want, to take care of your babies, take care of your baby mama, like, that is really fucking, you know, that's basic needs. And so in order to have that money fast, you ain't gotta go through taxes, you ain't gotta break your back, and you can just get the money. Of course, it's gonna be enticing to people in that type of situation.
And I'm gonna say, and mind y'all, again, this is a timepiece. It's also loosely based off of a true story. In addition to, I know back in the fucking 80s, that's all what it was about, was crack, drugs, money, gangs. Like, that was just...
So I talked to my dad, because I said my granddad wasn't alive. I mean, he's passed. May he rest in peace. But, he said, I told him what you said, and he was like, yeah, he might be right. And then he said, but, like, my dad, he was like, he still had a full-time job. So he was just like, he said, it wasn't nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a hobby.
Sometimes, yeah, it ain't something to do. I was just finna say, like, look what, I was just finna bring that back up. Look at what Meech and Terry got going on. Parents are struggling to pay their bills.
Right.
They lose their fucking house.
Right.
How is Terry and Meech finna inspire to be working a plant or work, you know, right, what, or whatever, like, when, hell, the nigga, his mentor was in the street. I'm sure that nigga was running numbers for that nigga, obviously, when he was young. He's been in the life. Like, so it's just like, when you see other niggas making money, it's just like, oh, shit, this nigga is making hella money. He ain't got no issue, none of that shit. It's just like, why would I sit here and try to have a regular 9-to-5 job struggling to pay my bills when I can go out here and...
Yeah. I mean, it's like the club life.
He gave his mama a whole knot.
Or the restaurant life. It's any industry where you can make a lot of money fast, tax-free. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to go to your quote-unquote 9-to-5 mm-hmm. after that. Because you're just used to living a certain lifestyle.
But that's different, though. Because, like... then in that period, they didn't have everything. We have so many different things. Yes. We have so many different, like, people that we can look up to or whatever. Like, we have a lot of, I can't think of the word, y'all. It's been a long... Mentors and all that shit. Like, examples. We have so many positive examples of different people who are in different industries. We see a lot of black excellence. We say black excellence all the time. We see a lot of black people doing good shit, positive yes. shit, in great positions and all that shit. So we can't sit here and say that because...
It's still hard, y'all.
It's still hard, I can imagine, but I'm still saying, like, even then, but that's still working at a club or whatever, doing, you know, that's still not the same as selling drugs and...
It's not the same, but it's still a lot of people...
It's not your traditional 9-to-5, I guess.
Right, saying, yeah. And there's still a lot of people that sell drugs. And the thing about, well, I don't know, I'm not going to talk about a life that I don't live. Everything I know is secondhand. But yeah, I was going to say the main thing about selling drugs. First of all, I feel like we've talked about this before. The main people who really doing the drugs, dealing and doing it, they're white. Mm-hmm. It's not this type of shit that you see. Like, I want to see, and apparently there's a character called White Boy Rick and there's a whole movie about it or whatever. But I want to see the where's the gang cartel about these white people that are doing this shit.
You ain't watch Snowfall, obviously.
Well, they're like the CIA.
Exactly. That's the white gang we talking about. No. That's a white gang right there. And they legal. They setting all the niggas up. It's right there.
That too. But I'm saying, like, the ones that be selling drugs and having the... They the ones that got all the dispensaries.
And what's calling? And fucking Sons of Anarchy.
Right, there you go. Okay, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, oh, shit. That's a show for
And
you
I
there.
Guess Breaking Bad, too.
Breaking Bad. Baby, they out there.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Now, I get it's not as many as they put on the niggas. Like, I feel like they got a new nigga selling drugs every goddamn other year. But...
every 6 months.
Right. But, I feel you, though. But, yeah, it's a few out there.
But yeah, it's Black History Month, so
right.
Let's take the heat off of niggas this month. But yeah, so that's very interesting.
But yeah, it's like I said, so far so good. I'm definitely glad we finally started. I hate that we started kind of late, but I mean, you know,
better late than never. We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it when we get there. I think they only on like episode 3 or 4 or something like that of the new season.
Two.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so we're not that far behind.
Nah, we're not that bad. I think we on episode, like, I think it's eight episodes in the first season. I think we're on 6. Yeah, so we don't have that much to go.
All right, so let's get into this discussion about The Last of Us.
Good God of mine this week.
Bill and Frank episode, also called Long, Long Time, I think it's called. I'm just going to come out and say that I think this is one of the best episodes of television I've ever saw. I mean, I've listened to like two and a half podcasts about this episode already. 3, actually. 4, maybe. But, and I mean, that's what everybody said.
I can't give it that, but I feel you. Yeah. I can't give it that, bro. You know how many good shit's been on TV? You know how many great shows we've seen with great episodes?
I'm giving it one of the best episodes I've ever
seen. One of, okay,
top
yeah.
Top 5.
Okay, I can get, you said the best.
Top
okay.
3, maybe. Okay, so something that a couple other pods have compared it to, which I was like, oh my God, yes, because that's my favorite episode of this show, is San Junipero from Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Is very similar to that. But yeah, I guess we'll just do a brief overview. So basically, Joel and Ellie are... they're out of the QZ zone. Do they have a car? They don't have a car, but they're walking through like the forest in the QZ zone to this convenience store. Joel was like, oh, I left some shit here. Ellie is being her 14-year-old adventurous self. That's me being nice. And climbs into a dark hole to go scavenging. She finds some tampons. I liked that moment because I was like, yeah, she's a young girl, she's gonna have her period, like what are we using? So that was cool. And there's also a zombie down there, but it's pretty much incapacitated,
so. And I'm so sorry, and I also like the fact that they said that Joel was like, you know, yeah, there's nothing here, it's all picked over, so of course that wouldn't be anything that he would be interested in,
right.
So of course it's you know, it's no interest to him,
right?
So of course for her to go down there and it's like, you know, Yeah, my ass. This is gonna be useful for me. Right. So I like that.
Right. There's an incapacitated zombie down there. And
Ellie's clicker at this point. I think it was in clicker form. All right. I was just trying to think of this, which stage he was at. Okay. Because there's like four different ones. I think it was at
clicker. We have our video game expert over here. So happy to have him. Mm-hmm. She stabs him in the head with her knife because she's a little violent. So anyway, she does do a smart thing and put a trash can down so she can get back out of the hole. I would have never went down the hole at all, but okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then they're walking and they're bantering and she's like, oh, what's up there? And he's like, no, I don't want you to go up there. And she's like, why? Is something I don't want you to see? And she's like, is it bad? And he's like, not really. And then she walks up there anyways. And it's a bunch of human remains, human bones. And he's basically just like, yeah, they killed these people before they caught the virus. So then you go back in time. You see this black lady and her baby. You can obviously see the blanket was left. And I was like, damn, we about to have to watch this black lady and this baby get killed. Mm-hmm. We don't. We meet Bill, who is a doomsday prepper or a survivalist, as he likes to call it. And he basically hides out in his bunker while they clear out the town. Once the town is clear, he's having the time of his motherfucking life. It's like supermarket sweep. That nigga hit every store he ever wanted to go to. He's cut the gas back on. He's cut the generators on. He's building fences and traps like home a fucking loan. And he's Gucci. He's got he's got filet mignon. He's got rabbit. He's got all the wines in the world. He is having the time of his life. Mm-hmm. And then this man gets caught in one of his booby traps. And, of course, he approaches the man like, you know, are you sick? He has a testing device. Test him. He's not sick. And he's like, okay, you can go. And the man is like, wait, I haven't ate. Can I eat? So apparently I didn't listen to the official pod again because I can't do too many pods about this show. But apparently on the official podcast, the actor who plays Frank said that he knew what Bill was in this moment after he let him come have lunch with him. I was like, huh, okay. So anyways, the creative part about this episode that I really enjoyed was that the whole time, I mean, even B was saying like, don't do that, he gonna kill you, like the whole time the way that we know what kind of we think we know what kind of show this is, and so we're like, you can't trust anybody. Be on high alert. And so, and Bill was on high alert. I mean, he always had his gun on him, he was always ready, and you know, he pretty much never put his guard down until Frank started playing the piano, and then Bill was like, can you stop? Then Bill goes to play the piano, and then Frank is like, I know what you are, and they share this kiss at the piano. So the whole time, even still up at that moment, I think we still thought he finna
finesse Bill. I just knew, bro. Like, the piano, the whole time, like I said, I was on high alert. I just did not trust this nigga the entire time. Like, I was like, all right. Like, first of all, even in the pit, when he fell in the pit, I was like, oh, this nigga finna get up there and beat it. First of all, when he put the test up, I said, this shit finna be red. He passed it. Got up. He was like, okay, you can go now. This nigga said, oh, I'm really starving, da-da-da-da. Got in there to eat. And I'm just like, bro, he's finna do something to this nigga, bro. Like, this nigga just being too nice, too gullible. Like, what the fuck? This nigga started playing the piano, and I was like, oh, how about you show me then? I was like, oh, he right behind it. He finna clock this nigga upside the head. I just knew we were just finna see blood splatter. This nigga just head gonna go. Like, it's just showing this nigga, and his head is gonna get knocked to the side type shit. I just knew this was gonna get knocked. But then, like you said, when that didn't happen, and once they stopped, then I was like, oh, yeah, never mind. I see where this going. I peep game.
Yeah.
At that point.
So, basically, to make a long story short, and it's crazy because it was like, their story was short, and essentially. It was 45 minutes. But to make that a long story, it did. To make a long story short, they begin a relationship and they are together for 20 years up to that point. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where, so you see where they meet Bill and, Joel and Tess. Yeah. I guess Frank and Tess have been radioing each other. So. And
Bill was not happy about that to begin with.
Right, because he liked to be alone.
Right, don't trust nobody.
Right. The only person he trusted was literally Frank. Mm-hmm. So they all become friends, quote unquote. Bill and Joel are very similar. They never call themselves friends, but they, you know, find a kinship. Yes, they have a kinship with each other because of the way that they kind of go about the world. And then there's a attack, because that's what Joel said. People are going to try and come for what you have. And there's an attack. But of course, Bill being prepared, he had cannons and shock gates and
everything, flamethrowers. Like war outside.
Right. And he was shooting. And it was like, baby, if you got all this stuff that they can't, they literally could not get in that motherfucker. Mm-mm. Like, they couldn't get in if they tried.
He would just shoot from afar. At that point, he was just having fun. At this point, right. He could not get in that bitch.
At all. And he did end up getting shot because Frank comes after him, so it gets a little distracted. Yeah. He gets shot, and then you think, oh, shit. Bill is about to die, and they do another time jump ahead. I can't remember. I think,
well, he literally blacks out, like he passes out, so you're like, oh shit, he's done,
right? And then come up, you see Frank. The next scene is Frank, and he's painting, and he's in a wheelchair, and then he starts talking to somebody, and I think the first thing I said was, oh my god, or like, oh, like he survived, because of course the type of show this is, you think that's it for him. Yeah. He survived. They're now, I would say they're probably in their late 60s. And Frank basically has like a neurodegenerative disorder. We don't know which one. I mean, we don't.
They look old when we first met them, but they had a lot of gray.
Yeah, they were probably like, I mean, the milk be spoiled, so I don't know. Yeah. I would say like, mid 40s when they first met. Yeah, so I would say, late 60s. Yeah. That's right. And, so Frank is the one, you would think it was going to be Bill in the wheelchair. It's actually Frank, and he, has become sick of kind of natural causes. And Bill is his caretaker, even though Bill's older than him, but Bill's still highly functioning and taking care of him. And then that specific day, which is in 2023, we don't know how long between Ellie and Joel's time and their time, but it's in 2023. Frank decides he doesn't want to continue to live. So they just start preparing for his last day. He tells Frank, Frank tells Bill exactly how he wants to live his last day. That's when I just started to lose it, because I was just like, what the fuck? They have that little moment in the strawberry patch that was very cute. And that's when something very profound that Bill says was like, I was never afraid until you came. And I was like, god damn. Because it was like, it's a fucking zombie apocalypse. And this motherfucker was like, the only thing I was scared of was losing you. Mm-hmm. So that was very like, ugh. And then, of course, going back to their last day, they decide to get married. That was very sweet. Then Frank basically says he wants to basically take pills, and he wants to, pass away in Bill's arms, giving very much The Notebook. The Notebook wasn't out. It was probably about to come out in 2003. I'm pretty sure it came out in 2003 because I was like a freshman in high school. And literally the moment when Frank requested that, I said,
you were freshman in high school in 2003, there's no way.
I'm pretty sure I was. Okay, no. I was probably in middle school.
Yeah, because I said I was a freshman.
Okay. Anyways. Okay. So, when Frank requests the pills, I said, oh, I'm making me a glass too, because you're not finna leave me. Mm-hmm. We finna die together. And Bill was on the same shit I was on, and he took the pills, and of course they, passed away together. Now we go back to Joel and Ellie's time. Joel finds Bill's suicide note, basically tells him, mm-hmm. Ellie finds it. Yes. Basically, Ellie reads it to Joel. Bill tells him, like, this is your job now, is to take care. We're protectors. This is what we're supposed to do. Do that, and you'll, find your purpose, essentially. And that was another line, too. He was like, you are my purpose. I was like, oh! I don't know, child. Any movie shows moments with, like, about marriage. They just, they be having me fucked up. But yeah, so that was that. And then Joel, of course, like, it's a safe haven, so they take showers, thank the fuck God. They get deodorant, thank the fuck God. I'm loving these little small details. Like, it's a fucking apocalypse. Y'all asses stink. Mm-hmm. Shower and put that deodorant on. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you. That's the one good thing she did. Was tell him to shower and put some deodorant on. They get the truck. He makes a battery because Bill has everything to make a battery. They get some guns. Ellie finds a gun. She don't tell Joel that she finds a gun, probably because he wouldn't let her have it. So that's going to come up later. And they head out into the road. And B said that they have on their game outfits now. So it's like, oh, the game is officially started.
Yeah.
So my thoughts about this episode is I liked how the relationship of Bill and Frank definitely paralleled what Joel and Ellie are going to go through, or what I assume they're going to go through, which is basically, obviously, you know, it didn't work out. Unfortunately, Tess passed away. And so Joel he failed to protect her, and probably feels like he failed to protect Sarah. He failed to protect Tess, kind of failed to protect his brother, but it seems like his brother, you know, they kind of decided they were going to do their own things. But he's still, you know, he's trying to get to him. So he's, in a way, still trying to protect his brother as well. And I think he was trying to protect, he had to get him out of jail. And so, yeah, that's kind of always been his role. And now it's like, okay, now you are the protector of Ellie. You know, she's your purpose now. That was basically, to me, the whole point of showing Bill and Frank, like, you can have a meaningful life by doing this and not just by focusing on yourself and just surviving. You can actually find purpose in something else. So I really liked that theme being shown with this romantic partnership. So that was my main thought. What about you?
You gave all that. What about me? Yeah, I mean, shit.
B was crying, and he don't cry much.
No, especially like, I don't hold you. So it can be something I may watch for the first time, and I may not cry, but if I go back and watch it by myself, I'm like, damn, bro, that shit got me, cuz. But like, with this shit, first time, first watch, like,
He said, and it was funny because we were watching it in bed, which we don't really watch shows in our bed because we know we're going to fall asleep. But yeah. He said, like, I was crying, but I wasn't like dormant. It was like I had thug tears. And he was like, I can't even look at you. And I'm thinking he judging me for crying. Then I kind of just look at him out the corner of my eye. His whole face wet.
That shit was sad as fuck. That shit was super sad.
I looked over to my right, and I was like, "Oh, they got him good."
That shit was sad as a motherfucker, bro. Cause I would just try to think about it, like, in his shoes, like, you just going off, just living your regular life, and then, like, out of nowhere, like, boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit just out of nowhere, and then, like, not only that, but.
You talking about the illness?
Yeah, the illness. Yeah. Like, y'all just living y'all life. Y'all doing what y'all can. Y'all done survive, like, this whole, like, you know, you done got shot. He didn't fucking patch you up type shit. Like, that's another thing. Does he have, like, medical training? Because that nigga was acting like, hold on. Like, he was moving, like.
I guess so.
He
saved his life.
Right. So, but yeah, you do all that shit. And then it was just, like, to see that nigga just, I don't know. That shit was just sad, bruh. Just to see how they was. I guess whatever condition he had, just to see him dealing with that, to see, I don't know. Just like, you just never know, like, you know, just what somebody can bring you, how much joy somebody can bring you. Because like I said, he was just living his grand old life, didn't have no issue at all. Like, watching, he was literally watching
his tracks. He said he was so happy when the end of the world came, because he hated people. And yeah. I feel him on that.
Yeah, like, he was chilling. But then, like, when this shit happened, it was just like, man. This shit almost, like, just made him
vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at this point, it's just like, bro, like you said, like, There's no way you're going to sit here and say, like, this finna be your last day or whatever. You expect me to live the rest of my fucking life. Like, that, nah. I knew he was finna probably, you know, do the same thing. Like, yeah nah, fuck no. Nah. So, yeah, I.
Right. Especially if you got the means.
Right.
And like, it's, what the fuck else was he going to do?
Right.
Wait for Joel.
Both y'all older.
He don't fuck with Joel.
Right. What, yeah. So, at this point, like you said, that was his purpose. So, at this point, shit, I'm good. But what I was saying, it was like, man, with, now mind y'all, like you said, they was still in that motherfucker. They had, I think the note said something like, don't open the door. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he didn't want them to open the door.
Yeah, he had the window, the bedroom window open to keep the smell from like roaming around the house or whatever. But I was sort of like, man, they, I don't know. That's still smelling. Yeah, but that's a nice ass motherfucking house though. He had a nice little setup type shit. He had, y'all, he had hella weapons, like whole basement full of shit. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, y'all. Like,
B would have stayed.
I might would have stayed. That smell would have been gone after a while.
Like some years.
Yeah,
they had food. They had hot water. Yeah.
I would have just, like, boarded, like smell proof that door off type shit. Like, just boarded it up, like, then boom. Just, wah, wah, wah. Just.
Yeah.
Covered it.
That's not the path. That's not the path they on.
Right. So but yeah, they had to keep on going. But yeah, I forgot. Yeah, they gotta keep on going. Shit, they gotta go. But I don't know. That would have been just too tempting to just
right.
I don't want to bring every gun with me in that match pit. Cause just knowing what they've already seen, knowing ain't no telling what else they're gonna see. Mm-hmm. Like shit, it ain't.
Yeah.
Dang, that car ain't big enough to hold all the weapons I would try to put in that motherfucker.
Yeah, I wanted to say something when you were talking about him. You know, going through his, you know, neurodegenerative disease, that I saw it kind of like how when they said in the garden, like, you being able to get older is a gift. So it's like, even though he's sick, like, he still got to grow to old age, mm-hmm. essentially, in an apocalypse where he mm-hmm. could have died way more brutally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood, like, seeing someone age and, like, have, you know, medical issues and they essentially can't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it was bittersweet because, again, he got to actually be that age mm-hmm. when he could have easily, you know, died at any point before. So.
Yeah, I feel that.
That was pretty cool. All right. Let's take a break before we get into this movie, this tea for the week. Y'all make sure you check out RooneyBoutique.com. We have an activewear event going on. So make sure you get your $15 activewear. Make sure you book your virtual fitting so we can help you pack for your upcoming trips. That's RUNIBoutique.com. All right, so tea for the week is You People, the contentious Netflix movie by Kenya Barris and Jonah Hill. I wanted to watch this movie because I love Jonah Hill. And
did Jonah Hill wrote some of it?
Yeah, he co-wrote it with Kenya. And so that's mostly why I was interested. Obviously, you know, the actors who are in the movie, love Lauren London, love Nia Long, Eddie Murphy, he's, you know, the GOAT. So it was like, you kind of have to watch this movie because just to see what it's about. Obviously, it's another Guess Who's Coming to Dinner movie, the superior movie outside of the first one. I haven't seen the first one, or the original is the one with Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher. But this one is on Netflix. I'm trying to be like, initial thoughts. Okay, so.
You want me to go first or you want to go first? You don't know. I don't know if you want me to go first.
I mean, okay, I'll start with the positives. You know, you got to make it a critique sandwich. The positives. It did have some funny moments. There were some funny moments in there. His best friend, who's played by Sam J, I can't remember her name in the movie. She was really funny.
Who?
His best friend with the podcast.
Oh. His
podcast co-host.
They had their moments.
Right. They had good banter. The scene with the niggas in Paris, that's the one that's kind of went viral on Twitter. That one was funny.
Wait, what happened?
When Eddie was trying to get him to say niggas. Oh, yeah. He said pals in Paris.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably the basketball scene when I thought he was going to be whack. That was funny. So, yeah, it had its moments.
Spoiler alert, by the way, guys.
If y'all listen to the podcast, if y'all get this far, y'all know we finna spoil the movie.
Yeah.
And again, this is literally another Guess Who. It's an interracial couple and the families don't get along. So it's literally, like, there's nothing to spoil.
The funniest part about this movie, to me, and like you said, it had its moments. Like, there were a few points where I chuckled or whatever. The main parts where I chuckled was because of Eddie Murphy. And because... Oh, yes.
His Hotep.
Of how militant and Hotep-ish he was, yes. Because he reminded me of your dad.
No, literally.
So it's just like...
he was literally my dad.
Like, so it was just a
outside
lot
of the Nation of Islam.
You're right. Outside of, you know...
But kind
of. Yeah, but...
outside, like, of the name change.
Everything like that, like, just all his shit, like, when he was wearing the kufi and just little stories about Farrakhan. Mr. Farrakhan and...
Yeah.
Just all that shit, whatever. I just felt like all those moments with Eddie Murphy was, like, just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the, I mean, he was a star for me, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, which was good. Okay, so critiques, obviously, well, I want to say obviously, but yeah, kind of obviously, Lauren and Jonah did not have any chemistry.
Zero at all. I mean, whatsoever. They had one kiss, and that was right after he proposed or whatever. That was it. They had zero chemistry. Like, at all. They barely held hands. Like, it was like they were playing Lauren London and Jonah fucking Hill.
Yeah.
They weren't playing whatever character they were playing. Yeah. They were just, like, on a set having a conversation. Hey, Jonah, so how you been? Yeah. Like, it, zero chemistry. And I'm not sure if that's because, again, y'all know the girls always blaming COVID. You know, I have a
reason.
I'm not sure if
that it, I think. And I have a theory.
And some people have been saying the Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
Some people been saying, like, Nipsey shit, because this, that's like, I think theory. This is her first movie.
They cut up
one of her first roles since
they cut up after when she was in the movie with Michael B. Jordan where she was killed. Mm-hmm. That Tom Clancy movie with Michael B. Jordan, and he was like the ex-military, and then they killed his whole family, and then he had to go get revenge.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You did, but you probably forgot it. It was on. It was like two Christmases ago.
Fahrenheit, the firefighter movie.
No. It was like two Christmases ago. It like just what's came it called? Out. It was I can't remember the name. It's a Tom Clancy movie on Prime. But it's when he had the Yeezy boots on.
Oh, yeah.
I see, I had to put it in.
Oh, and I didn't ask
it. In your turn.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Yes. So, but niggas cut up when she was in that movie in a relationship with Michael B. Jordan. So, of course they would have acted an ass if she was, like, really out here all over Jonah Hill in this movie, I think. And they really paid a lot of...
Without remorse.
Okay, yeah, there 21. We go. Yeah, so a couple years ago. They really paid a lot of homage to Nipsey in the movie. That's another positive. I love the fashion. The costume design, all the sneakers, like, mm-hmm. all that.
I had almost all the sneakers that nigga was showing out. No cap.
Look at you.
No cap, no kizzy.
What's your sneaker show? Sneak Geeks.
Sneak Geeks.
Representing.
Yep.
But yes, love all the fashion. I love that Lauren was a costume designer. I don't know. I find it really funny how there's a lot of creative careers in movies nowadays. And I'm like, huh. But they did have a line in the movie about, like, that industry. So I thought that was kind of funny. So, yes, those are my positives. But, yes, the chemistry definitely was... It was giving friend chemistry. But also, at the same time, I think this is another kind of devil's advocate. It kind of showed how if you look beyond looks, you can get along with somebody because they reach you on another level. Like, y'all have good banter. Y'all have fun together. They see you as a person, not just the object. So, I kind of got that vibe from it as well. Like, the person who may be for you may come in a package that you least suspect it, basically. But yeah. So those are my thoughts. The movie was way too fucking long. That movie should have been a smooth hour and 30. It was a point in the movie where it was literally like 1:35, like an hour and 35 minutes. It was their rehearsal dinner. And it was like, I literally checked the time and I was like, oh, this shit should be ending. It was a whole 25 fucking minutes left because they broke up at the rehearsal dinner. they should have broken up way before then. Mm-hmm. But it ended, of course, they had like a gunshot wedding, or, you know, the parents ended up planning like a last minute wedding for them that they didn't know was going to happen. And that's how it ended. But yes, the movie was just way too long. And then also the dialogue just became way too, like, I hate to use the word woke, but it just became way too white fragility throughout. So
I'm just waiting to go, Father God.
Yeah, so you can go.
Those are the movie thoughts. Was trash. T-Rash Basura. It just wasn't good, y'all. It was a drag. It was boring as fuck. It was long as hell for no reason. What's that nigga name? Who was the director?
Kenya Barris.
I'm tired of him. Mm-hmm. I hate his writing style. He has long fucking banters in his fucking writing style where he give all his fucking characters that go on long fucking tangents and they try to be hella philosophical and shit and they not. Mm-hmm. He write the same shit all the time. He does the same fucking movie. What's he done? Where my shit at? I just had my shit up. Black as fuck. We tried that. It he's done all the black. Blackish, wokeish, all the issues.
Yeah, I think we watched a few episodes of Black AF.
Coming to America was not good.
No, it wasn't. He wrote that.
His name is his came up as his movies, unless he was just in it. Maybe he was in it. I don't know. Anyway, I just don't fuck with his style.
Yeah, a lot of niggas don't.
And apparently he get kind of in his fee-fees about it because I guess I heard on Mallory Brothers podcast or whatever, when Terrell. Terrell has said that, you know, he had just tweeted about the movie or whatever, didn't at the nigga, just said like, you know, just said Kenya Barris, da 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 da. Apparently the nigga probably searched his name, I guess, and responded to the nigga or whatever, not on some real hurt shit, but on some kind of hurt shit. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, all right, fam. Like,
I mean, he could definitely, the thing about it is, I feel like, again, you know, I have my thing with creative, powerful niggas and creative niggas in powerful
positions. This type of positions. Nigga had a white wife. Is his wife white?
She's biracial. So that's why all of his stuff is kind of in that realm.
You have to do everything about her?
Maybe she his muse. I don't know. It's kind of sweet. But, again, let me give my powerful black men in creative spaces. They are very egocentric. So even though people are constantly critiquing you and telling you, do something else, do something else, do something else. Same with Tyler Perry. Niggas, do something else, do something else, do something else. If you getting money, if they put you in a position to make these things and have this kind of access and freedom to do whatever you want, the ego is too big. They're going to keep doing whatever got them to that position. Because they feel like they know because they got themselves to that position.
It's only because y'all making the type of shit that these same motherfuckers who buy the shit watches. It's the fucking boomers who eat up all that shit. Look who mainly... My mama is the only person who talk about Tyler Perry to me. To this day, y'all, she still tells me I should try to work for Tyler Perry. To this day. And I've heard so many horror stories about people who've interned for him, worked for him, and saying he's like a horrible person to work for. He's an asshole. He's very pompous. Which yeah. That yeah. energy feeds. Like, it bleeds. It's through his pores. Yeah. You can see the shit on TV.
Yeah.
So it's like, why the fuck would I want to work for somebody like that? No matter how much money he makes, no matter what spaces I would be in, I don't want to work for somebody like that. So no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But my grandma, everybody in that kind of generation, they love Tyler Perry. Look who be in his audience. Them older black people. They love Tyler Perry. And white people too. They love Tyler Perry. So it's like, now they have that.
Yeah.
They have that audience.
And I feel like...
And that's the audience that go buy shit. They really go support. Look at my mama. She buy any damn thing she want to support. So it's like, they the ones who really going to spend the money to go buy that shit and support that shit. Us, we just like, bro, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Tyler, why you keep giving us these same fucking nappy-ass, rowdy-ass wigs?
And I feel like...
Why you keep giving us this same... You take so much pride in doing all your writing, but it's horrible. And it shows you are not a black woman, so you cannot write for all black women. You know, for all of your movies is about black women. You are not a black woman. Have some black women write that are writers. Write for your shit, or at least help. even if you were raised majority by women, that you still not a woman, so how the fuck would you know deeply and exactly what they go through? Have them write the shit. But you saying you writing all your own shit, bro, it shows. Because it's not the fuck good.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to stop you when you're wrong.
But, yeah, I just don't, excuse me, I just don't care for him much, his writing style. Like I said, lack of chemistry, that was the real main thing. Now, y'all, I'm not keen on... love who you love, but I'm not too. I'm still pro black love. Just doesn't
like how prevalent it is in media.
Yeah, it's super prevalent. You know what I mean? So I was just like, all right, you know what I mean? I already know kind of know what I'm going into, so I'll just give it a go. Plus, you know what I'm saying? It's content for the podcast. So, but yeah, it was just
because I was gonna watch it without him because I already knew what it was.
It was a drag.
But I was like, hey, we need content for the podcast.
Yeah, it was just a drag. And like I said, it was just the writing that was in it. That was the main thing I really had a problem with. And like you said, it was just these extra woke moments. And I just get tired of that same damn. And I get it's probably somebody's, I'm sure it's a lot of people's reality.
And people who may need to hear it.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. But at the same time, like, I'm just tired of that being the thing all the time. Like, you know, in this kind, we see race relations all too well. We know what the fuck going on. We get the climate right now. So for us to have to keep going through that and hearing about these shits over and over again and hearing these same little black and white jokes or whatever, it's just like, all right, y'all, like,
do something else. Starting by, There's other interracial stories that.
Thank you. Why I gotta keep dealing with black and white all the time? Yeah. Like, we have way other fucking races, nationalities, and ethnicities, cultures, religions, and everything that y'all can put. If y'all want to do a guess who or type shit or whatever, use they fucking stories. I'm tired of just seeing black and white all the damn time. Let's get some Hispanic folk in there. Let's get some Latinx folks up in there.
Ooh, Latinx,
let's
get and, like, Chinese.
Thank you.
That would be cool.
Hell, I don't lie to you. If y'all keep it a buck, I would love to see fucking Jamaican and Asian. Because that's real. That's a real thing. I want to see how those cultures really come together, goddamn.
Yeah.
I bet that fusion of food, that shit got to slap.
Yeah, I mean, you just go to Jamaica.
But I don't know. I would just like to see something different outside of your traditional African-American.
Yes.
Black American.
And white American.
And Caucasian.
Yeah.
I'm just... My give a damn's busted.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
I understand that. Again, I've told you before, I'm more so black femme focused. So as long as there's a black femme main character, I'm going to watch it. I kind of could care less of what the other person looks like. But I would like to see... you know, black on black. I would like to see positive representation for black on black relationships.
Right.
Not just, I mean, this again, positive. We need representation all the way around. Like, I'm LGBT. They're getting their representation. And I still kind of feel like, where's the black on black representation?
So that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, so that's not just you. So let's just say that's just any and everybody. Everybody could be like, yo, I don't give a fuck who the other person is. As long as there's a black female lead character, whatever, that's all I give a fuck about. But that's the thing. In those shows, in those movies, their partner is a white person every time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's almost like it's forced. It's like
force fed
into, like.
Yeah, why do y'all keep pushing this narrative
down our fucking throats? Like.
Yeah, I feel you.
We gotta do something.
And
else.
That's also too, you know.
And bro, you a black director, bro. Like,
yes.
I'm tired of black people. Like, can we give our own fucking stories? You're a black director talking about white people shit too. Yeah. Like, I get your wife is biracial and shit, but that's still like she not white. She biracial.
You screaming.
I'm upset. Like, so she's still a nigga at the end of the day.
Yeah. So I was going to say too, like we've talked about it before, that there's this thought from corporations that you need to center whiteness. whiteness always has to be in the center. So that's another reason why there's always a white character in the story, and usually centered in the story, whether that's in a, as a partner or as a best friend or whatever. There's always a white center because these white-led corporations feel like white people can't identify with people who don't look like them. Ain't no black-led
corporations out here?
Even though we, as people of color, have been, we haven't needed to have direct representation in order to enjoy a story.
Like, it's been too many years now for us to still be saying, us still be hearing the first black to do this.
Right. But that's just the reality.
Oh, the first black production company, film production. It's like, where are these niggas at? Like,
it sucks because it's like, our generation is the generation that has to, you know, create, just the generation, the Kenya Barrises, the Tyler Perrys, like, those people are, you know, kind of paved the way. And so it's like, our generation is the next generation to, like, hopefully clean it up, make it better, make it easier. Which sucks because it's, like, a lot of pressure. But something else I was going to say, too, with Tyler Perry, I feel like a lot of white people enjoy Tyler Perry because
it's a coonery. It's yes, a coon show.
Right. It's like, oh, they're not laughing with you. They're laughing at
you. Yeah, it's a mammy show. Madea's a mammy.
Yeah, literally.
Literally a mammy. It's a, what do they call it? It's a minstrel show.
Yes.
It's literally a minstrel. Tyler Perry movies are a minstrel show for white people. For niggas, it can be a kiki time or whatever. Very, you know, like I said, I enjoy his plays. For every movie he has, he pretty much has a play. I love the play versions better than the movies.
Yeah.
Because niggas, the plays were for niggas.
Right.
White people wasn't going to sell plays back then for real.
Right.
It was for the niggas. That was for the church crowd, like the straight up niggas. It wasn't until they got to the mainstream to where he crossed over. And by the time it was, Madea went to jail, or Madea and Christmas, all that shit, now it's white people all in the main cast.
Mm-hmm.
In the main cast, not even like extras. or like just side characters, mm-hmm. like the main cast. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So that's going to lead into our recommendation section, because I have kind of like two prompts. It is Black History Month. Happy Black History Month, y'all.
I just had an idea. We'll talk about it afterwards.
You don't want to talk about it at all?
No, because it involves with nothing.
Okay. So what I am going to do, I want to watch the show Harlem. It is on Prime, and it's kind of giving Girlfriends. It's kind of giving Insecure from what I've seen. A couple people that I've talked to said that they enjoyed it. So I'm going to be watching Harlem. And also trying to find, I want to watch a lot of rom-coms, and I'm going to try to find Black rom-coms to watch this month as well. So that's my, my challenge for Black History Month.
Wait, what did you say? Challenge for Black History Month.
Yeah, just, I'm challenging myself to watch more Black-centered things that aren't violent. So I said Harlem, is starring Megan Good, and that's on Amazon Prime. And then I'm gonna try and find some Black rom-coms to watch as well that I haven't seen before. Maybe I may rewatch some.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I'm gonna be doing for my recommendation, my homework. What are you gonna be doing? BMF, what we've been doing?
Yeah, I'm Black every day. I watch nigga shit every damn day.
You do. So yeah, he doesn't have to.
I ain't gotta do this.
Refresh.
I'm Black 365, baby. I watch some nigga shit every goddamn day of my life. So I ain't gotta do this just for this 128 days. Shit. I don't know. I'm still watching Oh yeah, I forgot to talk about Manifest a little bit. But yeah.
Oh, Fresh Prince is coming back.
Yeah.
In February, we're
talking
right?
About that. We're talking about
it. Is it coming back in February?
I don't know.
Is it? I don't know.
But yeah, Manifest, I've watched maybe two more episodes of Manifest since, so, you know, so far, they know where baby girl at, and I'm sorry, they know she's still alive.
Okay.
They are now at a point where they are realizing that she has a communication with, what's the nigga name? What's her dad name?
Cal's dad. I don't know.
No.
Ben.
The daughter had like a connection with Ben. Mm-hmm. So when she draws some shit, Ben sees it somewhere or whatever. And same thing with him. Like, so, and also she draws her, what the fuck are those things called? They visions. Not yeah. visions, but what are they?
Callings.
Callings, yeah. They, she draws.
You don't remember nothing.
Y'all, it's been a long one. She draws her callings. So she draws a lot, so that's why they're able to see.
Wasn't okay. Cal doing that too? I'm pretty sure he was doing that.
I mean, Cal wasn't a baby though.
Okay. Cal he was drawing his.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, he sure was. I remember he had, yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, so far, and then she's realizing it. And also, what's his name? The black dude. The nigga who I don't like.
Mm-hmm, the cop. Ex-cop. FBI. Whatever he was.
FBI?
The one who was helping them? The bald one?
No, no, babe. You on what's calling now? You on...
You talking about Manifest?
You on BMF. I'm on Manifest. No, not... No, I ain't talking about him, babe. I'm talking about not the cop. Not him. I'm talking about...
We need to cut this podcast off. No.
Not the cop, babe. The curly haired nigga. The nigga who was...
on the opposite side.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
He is holding the little girl.
Okay.
And the nigga who kidnapped the girl.
The girl who kidnapped the girl.
Yeah.
Eden.
Yeah. Holding them in, he holding them up in the attic, in his attic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he done went and told old... See, I don't know no character names. That's why it's all sound bad. Told Buddy who was locked up. You remember the dude who was locked up? Told him about it. They was pals. Told Buddy who was locked up about it. And so now the dude who locked up is trying to use it to his advantage to get out. So now he done told Ben, hey, nigga, I know where your daughter at. You get me out in any way you can. I don't give a fuck how you do it. You get me out, I can tell you exactly where the fuck she at. So now they at that point now where they trying to...
figure out how to get him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, tell me to tune in.
He specifically told that black man to, you know, nah, leave her up there. It'll be dangerous out there for them. Leave her up there. He did that intentionally so he can use that to his advantage. So he can get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, still going to watch Manifest.
Okay.
Abbott Elementary, still ain't touched that yet. And, I mean, I've watched like two episodes, but I haven't finished the season, basically. Mm-hmm. Was there something else? I can't remember. Even if there was, I know I just got to get through what the fuck I named first. So BMF is the main thing I'm trying to finish and knock out. And then I will proceed from there.
Yep.
But make sure y'all follow us on all of our social media platforms. Our Twitter and our Instagram is nfandelitypod. That's nfandelitypod.
We need to get our word trademarked because it's literally so many people have come to me. Oh, that's what I wanted to say.
What?
Tell us your infidelity stories so we can read them on the podcast. So many people have been like, oh, my spouse, my partner watched the show without me. I can't stand them. And I was like, yeah, I have a word for that. It's called infidelity. And they're like, oh my God, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need to get this word trademarked. But yes, something new we do want to start trying out. If you made it to this point, we'll probably post it on Instagram and Twitter as well. Is to tell us your infidelity stories. What movie, show, or whatever that your partner or best friend or whoever watched without you, and how did that go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I have a lot of stories.
Okay, this is not about us. We're gonna let the guests tell us.
All right. Well, yeah, y'all. We will see y'all next week, and we will, I don't know, we'll watch something. What are we going to watch?
Infinity Pool.
We got to watch Avatar, too.
Okay.
That's long as hell. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Mm-mm.